I'm blessed with the opportunity to speak this morning. In the future, I hope to be blessed a little earlier. But regardless, I've had the opportunity to speak on several occasions before, and I enjoy speaking. I've talked about horses. I've talked about dogs. I've talked about cows. I've talked about flying airplanes, being the pilot and control of your life. I talked about the time my daughter tried to solo fly in a John Deere tractor. So today I wanted to turn the clock back, back for me. I wanted to go back to a time earlier in my life. Most people here probably don't recall that, but in my younger days, I considered myself an athlete. Yes. And was very proud of what I could do athletically, and spent a great deal of time with that. Had the opportunity to play on some really good teams, played on some teams that were not very good. One of the teams I played on was a basketball team. I was in the eighth grade. We had six players. Six. We went 20-2 in the eighth grade. We won three tournaments. Of the players on that team, the five starters, all five participated in college athletics. They were looking for competition, so they brought us to El Campo, Texas. We didn't play the El Campo white team or whatever they call the second group. We wanted to play the Aces. They had like 15 players. We lost. And I have held a grudge on El Campo ever since. Coach Gillis was a part of El Campo. He was not there when that happened. But he's a part of the Rice Bird legacy, and I still have, sorry, I have a little grudge there. I don't know how long that's going to last, but it's not over today. And tomorrow ain't looking good either. One of the other things I did, like most youngsters, I played baseball. Loved baseball. Played on a pretty good little baseball team. I've done everything you can do in Little League. I've coached, I've played, I've worked the concession stand, I sat in the stands, and I've even umpired. And if you go to a Little League game today, you're going to hear the song that I'm going to try to sing. I'm going to turn the mic off. Turn the mic off. That's in this pocket. Turn it off so we don't get any inter. There we go. You go to a Little League game, you're going to hear that song. And I've studied that, and I want to tell you, I don't mean to go negative on the young man, but I have concluded, and I say with 100% confidence and no hesitation, that this young man's pitching ability has zero to do with his inability to strike a baseball. He didn't miss on an overpowering fastball. He didn't get fooled on a curveball. It wasn't even a changeup. All right? It was a soft toss, and he whiffed on three straight pitches. The only way we can make it easier is taking back the T-ball. If we can't fix this problem, this youngster is going to be counting on mandatory play to get an opportunity in the game, because you got to be able to strike the baseball. So we want to take a look at that this morning. We want to fix his problem. All right? And in athletics, when you want to fix a problem, you always start at the bottom. You start with their feet. So I'm going to get a home plate. I don't have an official home plate, so I borrowed a home plate from the fellowship hall. There is home plate. And we can start off by talking about how his feet should be. And his feet should be square to the plate, like so, you know, about shoulder width apart. Everything in athletics always starts off shoulder width apart. Everything. And I don't care if you're shooting free throws or tackling a dummy. Okay, starts off feet shoulder width apart. Always like what I call the timing foot. You hear him talk about a front foot and a back foot? My horses have front feet and back feet. My dogs have front paws and back paws. But when I look at myself, I don't have a front foot and a back foot. I have a left and a right. But if you switch sides of the plate, the function of those two change. So when I coached Little League, I called it a timing foot, which was the foot closest to the pitcher, and a power foot, which was the foot closest to the catcher. That's where the power comes from. That's where the timing comes from. So you start with those two about shoulder width apart. Okay, knees slightly bent, maybe pointed towards each other. I've studied the video and he had this right. So we move up the body. We can talk about his hips. You want your hips open. You want your hips closed. We can talk about the grip on the bat. You can talk about how his shoulders are, where his elbow is. I've studied the video. He had that right. We can talk about the mental approach to hitting. And we can talk about the contact zone on top of the plate. As the pitch rides to the inside, the strike zone is forward. Because if you watch the bat swing, and the idea when you strike a baseball is to hit the ball with a big part of the bat. So this bat demonstrates barely where the big part is. And if you notice, when the swing comes through, the big part of the bat, in order to strike the baseball, has to be out in front of the hitter. As the ball approaches the middle of the plate, the contact zone comes back here, and the hardest one is if the ball is on the outer part of the plate, the contact is back even with the power leg. So we can talk about those three points. But I don't think they have anything to do with why this guy couldn't hit a baseball. I think he had that right. I don't know who that is, but I'll talk to him later. Contact zone. We were talking about the contact zone. The guy's here at the plate, and we can talk about his mental approach. Mental approach to hitting is key. And when you come to the plate, you don't just go up to the plate to see if you can hit. That's not why you go to the plate. You go to the plate, when you take your position in the batter's box, you have something specific in mind that you want to do. All right? You're not just go see if I can hit the ball somewhere. All right? You got a plan. You should have a plan in place. You should know what you're doing. I always told my guys, it's real simple, all right? if the pitcher's got control, one of his first three pitches is going to be at the outside corner. So if you want to be a good hitter, you should sit on that pitch. You're looking for a pitch in a spot, okay? A pitch in a spot so you can do what you want to with the baseball. And I'm going to tell you this, if you want to be a hitter and you can't hit the outside pitch, you're never going to see an inside pitch, all right? Because they're going to start out there, and if you can hit that, then they'll do something different. I've studied this young man at great length. I've watched all the videos. The contact zone had nothing to do with why he could not hit the ball. The young man did have one thing right. He recognized the importance of good pitching. There's a saying in baseball. The three most important things in baseball, the first thing is pitching. Pitching. And he was right about pitching. Does anybody want to take a guess what the second most important thing in baseball is? Second most important thing. Come on now. We all know baseball. Somebody step out and say what they think is the second most important thing. Huh? I'm not hearing anybody. You hear anybody? What do you, would you like to make a guess? He said pitching and pitching. You know what they do on Family Feud when somebody gives an answer? They all clap and say good answer. So let's all clap and say good answer, good answer. And he's right, it's pitching. Now, nobody knew, all right? Well, pitching and pitching. But now, who in here thinks they are the least knowledgeable about baseball? Right here. Now, if the most important thing in baseball is pitching, and the second most important thing in baseball is pitching, what do you think your answer would be for the third most important thing in baseball? Pitching! She figured that out. Pitching, 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 pitching. So that's about the only thing this youngster has gotten right, all right? He recognized the importance of pitching. But why can't he hit the baseball? He can't hit the baseball because of the most important part in hitting. And you can start at your feet and go to the top of your head, and you can get them all right. You mess this one thing up, and you will never hit the baseball. And you can get everything wrong from the tips of your toe to the top of your helmet. You can get everything wrong. And there's people in the Hall of Fame because they got this one thing right. You got to keep your eye on the target. Eye on the target. You got to see the baseball, and you got to see the baseball all the way to the contact point. And if you look off, the most common mistake a hitter makes, he wants to see where it went before it went. All right? The head should never come past the contact point, ever. A good hitter doesn't know where the ball went because he saw where it went. Okay? A good hitter saw it come off the bat. We spend a lot of time in baseball teaching people to hit, thinking about how complicated the process is. And it's really not all that complicated. It's the same in Little League, high school, college, professional baseball. You want to hit the ball, you better learn your eyes to see it. And we spend a lot of time on all the other things, but where we should be concentrating on is seeing and focusing on the most important thing. I've had a lot of fun here this morning. But y'all are not baseball players. And you're not going to go home and try to figure out how to hit a baseball. So, What's the application of baseball to our life? Well, I want to tell you, we spend a lot of time convincing ourselves that our life is a lot more complicated, a lot busier, and a lot harder to figure out than it was before. The baseball has not changed. The instructions for your life have not changed. It's really pretty simple. First thing is, don't make the problem more complicated than it is. Okay? You want to help a young man hit the ball? Teach him to see the ball. When we have a problem at the barn, I'm a farmer. The first rule is, eliminate the simple stuff. Let's don't call the technician just yet. Let's read the owner's book. And if it won't start, let's clean the battery connections. Let's don't even go buy a battery first. Okay, you eliminate the simple things because it's not as complicated as you think. And you remember what's most important. And in your life, it's very simple. God explains that. Jesus explained that. The most important thing is to love the Lord with all your heart. What's second? Yeah. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty simple. Keep your eye on the target. The eye on the target is a life with God in eternity. And everything else, if you get that one thing right and you miss on everything else, if you get that right, then it's a great thing. You don't get no better. And if you get that right by getting those other two things, you love the Lord and you love your neighbor. Loving the Lord, I think, is the easy part. Loving your neighbor, that's hard work. That's what I had for you this morning. I want to remind you about the Valentine's party. You will be there. No, you can't retire. I'm fired? Okay. Oh, and feel free to suggest whatever you want to eat for the Valentine's party. We'll take all kinds of suggestions. In the final say, I'll cook what I want, but anyway. We're going to cook something I like to eat, and I hope you like it. So that's what I have this morning, Judd.